Wir sind SBS German. Weitere Inhalte finden Sie auf sbs.com.au/German.
During the 1980s, John Friedrich built the Victorian Division of the National Safety Council into a high-technology paramilitary search and rescue organisation, the most sophisticated in the country.
The rumours have flown about the CIA and Secret Service connections of John Friedrich. Now, for the first time, there's a suggestion that he may actually have worked for our own defence forces, possibly under a false name.
Last evening, we were alerted by solicitors for the National Safety Council that they were concerned about counting irregularities. I'm advised that the figure could be in excess of $21 million.
They called him Benny. It was either Benny or Fritz. As I saw it at the time, the situation was, and judging by the sort of person I think he was, I would have said, right, he's got it all well planned out and farewell, because he wasn't stupid.
Welcome to our podcast, Hero or Con Man? The Case of John Friedrich. The case of John Friedrich is considered one of the most spectacular frauds in Australian history. It is the story of a man who became an ambivalent legend, a brilliant leader of a remarkable rescue organization, and the architect of a multi-million dollar fraud. The man behind the rapid rise of the National Safety Council of Australia, the Victorian Division, known as the NSCA, and the almost unimaginable fraud remains an enigma up until this day. In this three-part podcast series, we tell the story of John Friedrich and the NSCA. We examine how a single individual was able to sustain what may be the largest fraud in Victoria's, and maybe even Australia's, history over many years, deceiving banks and government officials while concealing his true identity. You will hear how one man persistently worked to expose the deception. We examine why no one asked questions until the debt had spiraled to a point where it finally triggered an investigation. And we ask, could John Friedrich have carried out this fraud alone? And why did he do it? The National Safety Council of Australia, or NSCA, is founded in May 1927 in Gippsland, Victoria. Its initial focus is on road, maritime, and workplace safety. In the late 1970s, the Victorian division of the NSCA begins delivering industrial safety services on a contract basis to major construction projects in the Latrobe Valley. It is within this relatively low-profile environment that, in 1977, a man with a foreign accent appears. His name is John Friedrich. He seems unassuming, yet highly persuasive and charismatic. He takes on a position as a safety officer with the NSCA, where he is responsible for training and advisory services. Within just a few years, he rises through the ranks, first to senior safety engineer, then, in 1982, to head of the Victorian Division in the Latrobe Valley as executive director. Under his leadership, the NSCA undergoes a radical transformation, becoming a flagship organisation, first in Victoria, then across Australia.
During the 1980s, John Friedrich built the Victorian Division of the National Safety Council into a high-technology paramilitary search and rescue organisation, the most sophisticated in the country.
What begins as an office with posters and training materials gradually becomes an operational unit with high-tech equipment, rescue boats and helicopters. With each new acquisition, the reputation of both the NSCA and Friedrich grows, among banks, government agencies, and political circles. By the late 1970s, the NSCA begins offering occupational safety services for major construction projects in the Latrobe Valley on a contract basis. It takes on more and more assignments. Helicopters transport injured workers from remote mines. Small aircraft serve as air ambulances across hundreds of kilometres. The NSCA becomes especially visible during Australia's bushfires. Friedrich has helicopters converted into water bombers, initially using external tanks, later with built-in systems. The bright yellow aircraft fly along fire fronts, dropping water and fire retardant, saving farms and entire communities. Friedrich ensures that the equipment is always state of the art.
The NSCA fire mapping unit outfitted a King Air turboprop aircraft with multi-spectral line scanning equipment to produce and drop precise detailed infrared pictures to the fire bosses planning tactics on the ground.
Soon the aircraft are also deployed during the fire season in the Northern Hemisphere, in Spain, Portugal, France, and even Canada. But Friedrich has bigger plans. If helicopters cannot reach a location, specialists are to parachute in. These pararescue officers, or PJs, jump fully equipped over land and sea to provide medical aid and carry out rescues. At sea, they assist sailors in stormy conditions, supply ships, and search for missing fishing vessels.
Roger, mobile. You're clear to come on home. Over.
For many young men, this is a dream job. Parachute jumps, helicopter missions, adrenaline, and the sense of doing meaningful work. Recruitment increases steadily. Steve Taylor joins the NSCA Search and Rescue Division in 1986. Today he is president of the National Safety Council alumni and recalls the organization's appeal before he joined.
I would see the helicopters flying over the top. Interestingly, they had a boat they were towing to Melbourne one time, which came off a trailer and landed on the highway in front of my house. So that was kind of who are these blokes with all these toys? A couple of my mates joined and had a couple of guys I went to school with joined and were having a ball. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty good to me.
The training provided to employees is almost military in structure, resulting in rescue teams that are among the best trained in the field. Steve Taylor recalls.
Look, the first 9 months I was training as a rookie, so that was just constant training, doing everything from, you know, physical training to learning to use breathing apparatus to, you know, learning to parachute into the trees, learning to parachute into the water at night, all sorts of different things like that.
Tom Supple, a former Navy pilot, later joins the NSCA.
I was flying a helicopter. It's quite a big helicopter and carried a crew and had rescue machines and all sorts of stuff on it. And we did everything. We dragged people out of the ocean and helped them with fires and did medical stuff day and night. So we did pretty much everything, anything that somebody wanted done.
Steve Taylor also looks back with pride.
You'd be medevacking someone back from New Guinea. Another time you'd be medevacking a burns patient from Bundaberg down to Brisbane to the burns unit. You know, getting a King Air going to Darwin, put someone in a hyperbaric chamber and then flying them down to Adelaide, going to rescue someone off the reef that's got the bends or a boat sunk or whatever.
For the young employees, every day feels a bit like Christmas. Their boss appears to have a seemingly limitless budget, constantly acquiring new and advanced equipment. The fleet of bright yellow aircraft and vehicles becomes the NSCA's trademark.
I was pretty impressed. The equipment was really good. Or first class, everything, you know. If you needed anything, it just appeared.
Bruce Savage is the head of public relations at the NSCA at the time and is right at the forefront of the action.
Oh, it was a very good time for me. I spent from 83 until it folded in 89 there. And it was a very fulfilling, as a journalist, public relations person, that was very fulfilling.
As the organization grows, Chief Executive John Friedrich's plans become more ambitious. Friedrich acquires a small submersible, high-tech equipment for underwater operations. There are also sensor-equipped search pigeons, a rescue dog trained to jump from helicopters, and rescue horses for difficult terrain. Much of this has limited practical application. It serves more as a reflection of Friedrich's expansive vision. Bright yellow helicopters, aircraft, boats, elite rescuers in striking uniforms, the NSCA appears almost like a civilian special forces unit. And at the center of it all stands John Friedrich. But who is this visionary with the unusual accent? By the mid-1980s, the NSCA employs several hundred staff and works closely with government agencies. There are several bases around Australia, each one outfitted with state-of-the-art equipment. Friedrich, who oversees everything, is seen as a man of bold, progressive ideas. Someone who is reshaping the sector. Many who work with him see a leader who inspires and drives others. He is an extraordinary person, as Bruce Savage, the former head of public relations at the NSCA, recalls today.
Very confident person, obviously operating a very SMIC operation at Wayang with very good personnel, very professional people with very good equipment. When you started working for him, you saw the intensity of the person and the total focus that he had on providing emergency services to various organisations, and he just was very passionate about it. Yeah. And that went on to his staff, obviously. Yeah.
Friedrich's former lawyer, Sig Zeiler, describes him as
a man with shining, energetic eyes who talked very fast. He clearly was intelligent, likable, and with a somewhat intense stare.
Greg Dever is a retired detective senior sergeant with the Victoria Police. As a detective sergeant in the fraud squad, he was at the forefront of the investigations into the John Friedrich case.
He's a very personable bloke. He's quite intelligent. He was very charismatic, easy to have a conversation with, quite articulate. Yeah, he was a decent fellow. He had a ready smile and he was always pleasant.
And this is the man firmly in control of the NSCA.
An interesting chap in that he appointed people as departmental heads, and those people were given the authority to manage those departments. But he had a very good handle on every department in the organisation. He would work 7 days a week, and he would make sure that he was across all departments that were operating within the organisation.
To the outside world, the NSCA appears to be a quasi-military organisation. By 1989, it has 430 staff on its books. Its fleet includes 24 helicopters, 10 fixed-wing aircraft, and extensive additional equipment other organisations can only dream of. It even has an operation in Canada. Employees wear military-style uniforms bearing the NSCA emblem. The organization works closely with police, fire services, and the Department of Defense, conducting joint exercises with emergency services, the Royal Australian Navy, and the Royal Australian Air Force. It provides search and rescue services for the Air Force, state and federal governments, and industry. Financiers and politicians are flown across the country in the bright yellow aircraft. Many Australians assume the NSCA is a government agency. In fact, in its role as a provider of community services in the fields of health, safety and emergency response, it has received quasi-government status. To many, its sheer size and scope make it appear indispensable. It is therefore no surprise that no one questions the NSCA's operations or finances. No one except for Bill Meek. As CEO of SkyWest, a company operating out of Western Australia with several air rescue contracts, he is among the first to suspect that something may be wrong with the NSCA's financial position.
I guess as soon as I started to do my research, it was obvious that they seemed to have access to unlimited funds to be able to acquire equipment and personnel. There just didn't seem to be any of the normal commercial constraints to their expansion. And so I considered that we were dealing with a very unusual threat.
Meek's suspicions focus on John Friedrich himself, a man who remains a mystery. In the next episode of our podcast, Hero or Con Man, the case of John Friedrich, we examine who John Friedrich really is and what lies behind his rescue empire. Also, how one of Australia's largest frauds was ultimately exposed.
He is no longer an employee of the organisation, and so we're continuing to operate without him in the organisation.
The rumours have flown about the CIA and Secret Service connections of John Friedrich. Now, for the first time, there's a suggestion that he may actually have worked for our own defence forces, possibly under a false name.
I don't know if others see him that way, but to me he was like Robin Hood. He helped out wherever he could. He was very down to earth. He didn't show off. I really can't say a single bad thing about him.
Stay tuned for the next exciting episode.
Lust auf weitere Interviews und Geschichten? Uns gibt's auf allen großen Podcast-Plattformen wie Apple, Google und Spotify.